And now, David, you have a wonderful interview set up for us. We're going to learn about giant pumpkins.
Yeah, the Dill Homestead, back from the 1800s. Many, many generations have lived there, and we're going to be talking to Danny Dill here in a minute, out in Nova Scotia. They're 2 hours ahead of us. They're a long ways away. But the temperatures seem to be the same. Danny Dill, are you there in Nova Scotia?
Yeah, I'm here, David. I'm actually sitting by a wood stove trying to stay warm.
What kind of wood are you burning? I always envisioned Newfoundland and Nova Scotia as being these barren rock-filled places. What kind of firewood are you burning in that stove today?
Well, here in Nova Scotia, there's a lot of maple that people use, birch. You know, we've got a good mixture of hardwoods here. Now, Newfoundland, I'm really not sure what they have there, but they definitely are more barren than we are.
So now, if you have a great big dried-out pumpkin, can you burn that for fuel, too? Or is that, like, sacrilegious?
No, that won't work. Actually, a giant pumpkin would be good to get inside to stay warm, maybe.
Just climb in, huh?
Oh, yeah, you can climb in them.
Yeah, and you can actually be in a regatta. We can maybe talk about that in a minute. But the Dill's Atlantic Giant advertised as the world's largest pumpkin variety, and there are many different seeds. And right here on our studio table, we have seven seeds from Dill's Atlantic Giant, and we have great expectations and hopes for them. Can you tell us a little bit about the history? And it was your father, Howard, who was the world champion pumpkin grower for a number of years?
Yes, that's correct. My dad, back in the 1970s, early 70s, I mean, he had a mixed farm, just like mostly all farms. You know, you kept some livestock, beef cattle, and you had an apple orchard and your vegetable gardens. And, you know, and he was involved in 4-H as a child, and I think that's where he got his kind of showmanship, competitive part, to the part that, you know, when you want to enter and show stuff in the fall fairs, which was very competitive, you know, in them days. And anyway, they had a local contest here, just who could always bring the biggest pumpkin. And in them days, it'd be something that's 75 or 100 pounds. And it was just an old kind of Hungarian mammoth squash variety that some of the older seed companies offered, just whatever a seed they had. And my dad, actually, he taught himself genetics then in the mid-70s, that he thought, well, if I cross this particular plant with this one, could I produce one even bigger? Like, you know, it's no different than if somebody was breeding livestock for a faster racehorse or what have you. And lo and behold, he grew his first one over 300 pounds, I think, in 1976, and he had taken it down to a show in Circleville, Ohio. They have a huge pumpkin show. There was no prize money, just for, I guess, the blue ribbon. And anyhow, he continued on and kept working at it, and he wanted to kind of more work for the orange color, because back in them days they could be green, orange, or mottled, like different colors. So in 1979 he hit his first world record that weighed, I think, 438 pounds, and he had continued breaking records each year. So he had, what, 4 straight years he was the world champion. So he knew it was not a fluke, that he had something here. You know, he had patented the variety and, you know, dubbed it, of course, Atlantic Giant. We're here in the Atlantic. And since then, I mean, his seeds, growers from around the world have ordered his seeds like yourselves, and they've gone on to produce bigger and better pumpkins that are over 2,600 pounds now.
When I go down to the local Fleet store here and buy some Dill's Atlantic Giant, which I did last year and grew mm-hmm. them, that's not the same seed I'm getting if I get on your website and you can tell me exactly the weight of the pumpkin that the seed came out of that you're going to send me. And I see if I want to get on the ball and try to get the biggest one from last year. Too late. You're already sold out.
That's exactly it. It's kind of a selection process. A lot of these growers are very keen, and they've educated themselves on the genetics of the Atlantic Giant. They're looking for certain seed crosses that had the potential to grow ones even bigger and heavier. I mean, some growers, they don't care what it looks like or the color. They're just going for the weight, because we find the kind of what we call the cream-colored ones tend to weigh heavier. They're thicker rind, as opposed to what we call the nice orange pretty ones. You know, they grow just as big, but they don't seem to weigh as heavy. So
Yeah, the seeds that we have here in the studio are They're just a paltry 800 pounds for a parent. But they're the orange, so they'll be nice and bright. And, of course,
yes.
800 seems like a long way from the 300 that was just back when your dad was doing this. And is it just, when's it going to stop? I mean, we're over a ton now with pumpkins.
Well, it's a good question. I remember a science paper out of the States somewhere interviewed me a couple years ago about the potential, and I said, I could see 3,000 pounds being broken within 5 years. It's just, like I said, the whole selection process, and, of course, the growing conditions, which is very important, that some grower who's, you know, a really top grower has the perfect growing season, and, of course, some lady luck will come out sometime with a 3,000 pumpkin, and it is incredible to think about it. It's like something that can grow so big and fast in a matter of, when you actually think of that flower that opens up and is pollinated, say usually the 1st of July is when that happens, that something that big can grow that fast in a matter of, say, 3 months, July, August, and September, because most of the contests are usually around the 1st of October. So in 90 or 100 days, like, something can grow 3,000 pounds.
Yeah, we've got Clearbrook, which is in our listing area, and LaPorte, I know, have pumpkin contests. I'm not sure. There may well be others, but it's just, yeah, like you say, it's amazing. If you grow 1,000 pounds in 30 or 45 days, that's amazing.
It is. I mean, it's just at one certain point during the cycle of the growth of that pumpkin. I mean, of course, it only starts off small. It's just like the size of a baseball. But at one point, it would have to be almost maybe putting on 100 pounds in one day. So anyhow, going back to the seeds that you have, for instance, like, you know, that seed that you have could actually grow a new world record. I mean, some growers, of course, they naturally want seeds that are these ones that weigh 2,000 pounds, but they may only grow one that may weigh 400 or 500 pounds the following season, and somebody as yourself has seed out of a 600 or 700 pounder could produce one that could weigh 1,500 pounds. It doesn't really matter. Like, I still grow seeds here. Like last year, I produced a lot of big pumpkins out of one that weighed something just like 200 and some pounds.
That's Danny Dill, and he is his business is Dill's Atlantic Giants, and we're talking about giant pumpkins this morning. And Danny, can you give us like a short course in how to grow a giant pumpkin? Because just putting the seed in the ground like I would with my jack-o'-lantern pumpkins in the garden is probably not going to do it, right?
You're right, Maggie. That's just not going to do it. These definitely need a lot of tender, loving care. I mean, here in Nova Scotia, we start our seeds indoors in kind of 4-inch peat pots. Usually the end of April, we start them indoors. We don't want to start them too early because, you know, there'll be a big transplant. You've set it outside, it will just sit there for 2 or 3 weeks and not do nothing. That we'd rather have a young, vigorous transplant when we set outside. So we start the seeds indoors. The big key is definitely your soil to get prepared. You know, we plow the ground every spring. We use a lot of old-age cow manure, like 2 big bucket loads from the tractor for each plant that we spread over the entire area. We put lime on the soil to try to keep the pH around neutral to help sweeten the soil. So that's about it. We till it all in. We set out our transplants, and we set a little greenhouse, a hothouse, over each plant to protect them, of course, because we can still get a frost here, probably such as you, right into the first part of June. And so it's going to take a while when the plant gets growing. And as, you know, it starts to grow and vine out, as the side vines grow, the growers will bury the vines. They put soil over the vines to help anchor them down from the wind. But see, they put another set of roots out from the top of the vine, so now you have like a double root system. So you get a good plant established, and then come along, oh, 1st of July or mid-July for us, you'll see that first female flower show up. We do our own pollinating. We either take a male from another plant to pollinate it, or if you don't have one, you have one plant, you just use a male off the same plant. That's just basically self-pollination. You pollinate the flower, hope it takes. And saying that, you try to get your pumpkin on the main vine because that's the one you want to focus on to grow. But you generally leave 3 or 4 on the plant at the beginning because sometimes that first pumpkin, the pollination doesn't take. You might get the size of a basketball, and then it aborts. It might just shrivel up and stop growing. So And saying that, if you already got three or four other ones on, then you at least you have a backup, and then you can focus on one of them. So if one of them, you know, the first one starts growing well and it's getting bigger and bigger, then you can take, you know, the other ones off. But generally, I like to leave two pumpkins on the plant just because they like to have a backup. I call it kind of a shock absorber to take everything in. And because sometimes the really competitive growers that grow, say, six plants, a lot of times they may only end up at the end of the season with just one left because they're putting so much into it that these pumpkins grow too big and too fast that they end up splitting. And then you have nothing.
Oh, my gosh. How much space does it take for one of these plants?
We generally give them about, 400 to 600 square feet for one plant. Because these vines can grow, 30, 40 feet. But saying that, usually like by, mid-August, I'd say, we will terminate the vines, stop the ends of the vines from growing, just pinch off the ends and maybe bury them. Because then by that time, mid-August, you know, you think you got a big enough plant that you want everything to go into the pumpkin itself from, you know, the rest of the season.
It just sounds like, yeah.
it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work. I'm looking at your website, and I see you have 40 different varieties of pumpkins, including some nice white ones that you grow and provide for people who want to have pumpkins at their wedding.
Yeah, I mean, this pumpkin business has just taken off in the last few years. It's just the number of varieties now on the market of all different sizes, your little gourds, miniature ones, and now there's like six or seven types of white varieties. And, you know, we get people that, you know, they book these white pumpkins, you know, for fall weddings. So, you know, there's that. I mean, they're all different colors and shapes now, so people love, I mean, some people get more excited about fall now than they do maybe more so for Christmas and decorating their stores or their front lawn.
And you get so many of these large pumpkins that are floating around your community you actually have a pumpkin regatta where people paddle
Correct.
Pumpkins in a race?
Yeah, we started that in 1999. This year will be our 20th. And the first year we just did it kind of as a joke to see if these pumpkins would float and paddle them, and we had five that did it, and we had about 4,000 people show up to think, oh no, this can't happen, they're just all going to end up down in the water. And but all five made it across, and it just took off from there. And now usually every fall we have 40 to 50 in the race, and it's quite a sight to see them all struggling and paddling these pumpkins across the water. And actually this year for our 20th anniversary, we are thinking about Windsor is also known as the birthplace of hockey, so we are thinking combining pumpkins and hockey this year as a theme, and each pumpkin will be painted to represent each NHL team, so I'll maybe have to get a nice seaworthy pumpkin to represent the Minnesota